You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on all things Warriors. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat writer for the Mercury News. Today's show is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. And I'm here with my friend Bram Hilsman, the host of the wildly popular Warriors Huddle podcast. Bram, we were supposed to connect last week for a podcast, but like a true millennial, I flaked on you. And I think that ended up, though, being for the best, because now we have a fresh topic to talk about, and that's the future of Giannis Antetokounmpo, whose Bucks were eliminated in the playoffs by the Heat on Tuesday night. And now we're in our favorite time of year. It is officially rumor season. You and I have discussed Giannis before, and I know that you want him on the Warriors. I mean, why wouldn't you? But still, after his disappointing playoff performance, has your opinion changed at all?
First, let me be a little bit angry that you addressed the fact that you flaked on me last week already, because I podcast angry much better than I podcast happy. And I kind of planned on like feeding on that resentment and the anger I still had, but now you've completely isolated it and made it go away. So nicely played. But if I'm a little sluggish today, it's your fault. As far as has my opinion changed on Giannis? Let's acknowledge the obvious. When the playoffs begin and it becomes half-court basketball, his lack of an outside shot is more than noticeable. It's concerning. It is. When they packed the paint and forced him to change his game, he didn't, and is one of the main reasons that Milwaukee didn't move on. That, an injury and the lack of a supporting cast. So I recognize it, Ben, and I acknowledge it. But does it make me any less interested in having him as a member of the Warriors? No, it does not. Bottom line is, this kid is 25 years old, from what I can tell is conclusive proof of human evolution. And I genuinely believe that if he goes to another team, or at least they just change whatever preparation they're putting him through now, he can develop a jump shot. And when he does, will be as unstoppable on the offensive end as he currently is on the defensive end. His reputation took some dings, but no, my overall perception of him hasn't shifted.
I don't think we learned really anything new about Giannis. I mean, this is the same issue that cropped up in the playoffs last year when Kawhi ousted him, and he did it with that mid-range jumper, not really a three-point jump shot. And I find it really interesting that every time you listen to a broadcast and they talk about Giannis, or, you know, somebody breaks down his game and tells everybody, oh, he needs to get a three-point jumper, he's been working on the three-point jumper. What he hasn't been working on is that mid-range jumper. And I think it is because Mike Budenholzer doesn't like them, right? You shoot at the rim or you take threes, and the entire offense that Budenholzer built is Giannis gets to the rim and kicks out to open shooters beyond the three-point line. Yeah. But without first developing that mid-range game, which is what, like I said, Kawhi used to beat him, what Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo used to beat him in this round, like, without that mid-range game, can we realistically expect him to develop a three-point game? Like, that to me just doesn't add up. Like, even LeBron James had to get that 17, 18-footer going before he extended his game to the three-point line. That's just the natural progression of things. And he's, by the way, an awful free-throw shooter. That matters. Like, let's get that going before you're asking him to make 22-footers. And I just don't know that that's going to happen in Budenholzer's system, because under Budenholzer, because he doesn't empower Giannis to do that. And we've seen Giannis so much already kind of defer blame to Budenholzer. And so I think my opinion of Giannis really hasn't changed necessarily, but just maybe, you know, that this performance sort of underscored what I already thought about him. But certainly my opinion changed from Budenholzer of, okay, maybe you can win a championship with Bud as your head coach, to there is no way in hell you can win a championship with Bud as your head coach.
Yeah, he seems, Bud, I mean, I'm watching him from afar. And to be fair, I was rooting against him as hard as I possibly could, because I wanted Milwaukee to flame out just so that we could have this conversation, right? So this isn't a clean analysis. But he seems really hard-headed. Budenholzer seems like the type of coach who will stick to a system regardless if it's working or not. You know, after this season hit the Titanic, he didn't even ask the ship to turn. You know, he was like, fuck it, let's just keep going through the iceberg, which is why they ultimately lost 4-1. And I think I hear what you're saying, but let me ask a clarifying question. take the coaching out of his life, look just at his future. If you had to bet a considerable amount of money, let's call it a rent payment, do you think at some point Giannis will be a reliable three-point shooter? I mean, not Steph, but do you think he adds that piece to his game?
No.
Ever. You just don't think. Why? Because he doesn't have the form? Because it's just not, it's not something that can be developed?
The form isn't there, and what's that saying? You'll know better. Like, necessity is the whatever of invention.
Mother
of invention. There you go. Necessity is the mother of invention. He doesn't need it. And people tend to think he needs it, but no, he can average 30 points a game and be the two-time MVP without it. He does not need it. I think what
he can't
does,
move on. He keeps losing in the playoffs without it.
I think what he does need is the mid-range shot, and I think that is much more doable
okay.
than the three-point shot. And so
can he develop that one?
Yes, that I think he can. I mean, honestly, like if he's 15 away from the basket and he just reaches his arm out, he's halfway there already. So I don't understand why he can't make it happen. But I think that's the next part of his game. But one thing I wanted to go to is, why not take that shot? Why not develop that shot? I understand that Budenholzer, and look, I'm proving my own point wrong here, but I understand that Budenholzer doesn't want him to take it. But how many times have we seen stars in this league just say, I know you don't want me to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway? Why doesn't Giannis pick up Jimmy Butler at the end of games? Why doesn't Giannis go ahead and just shoot the quote-unquote inefficient mid-range jumper, or at least develop that mid-range jumper, instead of being so focused on developing the three-point jumper, you know, 2 years before he ought to be doing that? The only way I've changed my mind about Giannis through this series is that he's sort of gotten branded as this, like, next Kobe, Michael Jordan kind of ultra competitor, but MJ and Kobe would have just done what they wanted to do at the end of games and demanded that they be on the court and demand the best and guard the best player. Giannis didn't do that.
That's a great take. And such a great take that let me slightly alter mine. So after watching this, here is how my opinion of him has changed. Going into the playoffs, I was 100% positive this guy was not only in the upper echelon of the current league, you know, top five player right now, but in the upper echelon ultimately in history. I don't know where he lands. There's still a lot of basketball to be played and whatever team he ends up on. But just given his skill set, you know, I was virtually positive. We look back in 20 years, we're talking about him amongst the greats, the top two, top 3%. But the thing I think I've put into question is what you just put on blast perfectly. It was his mentality. The things that really separate those guys, we're talking top two, top 3%. It's no longer physicality or athleticism, right? I mean, everybody in that conversation already has that. What we're talking about is mentality, an FU, I'd prefer to die than lose. And what we saw at the end of the game when he refused to guard Butler, but even more than that, when they asked him about it, and he didn't have any fire and, you know, didn't necessarily lash out at the coaching staff or suggest he's going to take this in his own hands. It suggested to me that he might not have that alpha dog F everybody mentality, which isn't a criticism, probably makes him a better person, mm-hmm. but it may impact his overall legacy, if that makes any sense. And it's early, you know, I mean, he's 25, man. So we're going to see how this
stuff
goes. Well,
that's right. He is in that. He's at that point now where he can earn himself the label as coach firer and sort of flip that on its head, right? Like, yeah. Look, I played by your rules this long. Like, Michael Jordan wasn't that right away, right? And yeah. So I think Kobe basically was, but Michael Jordan wasn't right away. And so maybe this is Giannis's transitional moment, right? Like, he either now becomes a coach firer, the guy that stuck it out with his team and kept losing like Damian Lillard, or the guy that quit on his team, right? Like, those are sort of the three paths that he can go on. And look, I didn't bring all that stuff up and just to say that Giannis is not a good player or to, you know, run him through the mud, but it's something that we noticed. And that said, if you're a Warriors fan, and I'm asking you this, you would obviously still take Giannis.
In a heartbeat. So, I mean, loaded question, right? If the NBA salary cap rules were suddenly suspended and Milwaukee lost its damn mind, and they're like, hey, would you like Antetokounmpo on your team? Would I say yes? Yes. You know, of course. Now, who would the Warriors have to give up for him makes it a much more complicated question. But if we're just talking, you know, straightforward, can we include his talent base? Absolutely. Even like, let's take all the offensive concerns and just put them to the side. And let's assume for the purpose of this question, he never develops a jump shot ever. It's never going to be able to hit a shot from beyond 3 feet from the rim. His offense is stuck in sound and his defense is going to remain the same. Even if that was true, he'd be an incredible addition. He's an MVP or a defensive player of the year and would add an ability to get to the cup that nobody currently on this roster has. So generally speaking, yeah, I would very much like to include him. But do you – I need your basketball IQ, man. So, you know, we do a Warriors podcast, and I feel fairly solid about our Warriors breakdowns. But if I'm being honest with you, there are things that happen within basketball that are above my head. Now, I still pretend like I understand them, Wes. You know, I'll drop, like, overall lines. Things like, for example, in playoff basketball, it becomes a half-court game, and everything shifts. We all believe that. We all say that. I drop that line all the time. But if I'm being honest with you, man, I don't understand why, right? So Milwaukee was the most successful team during the regular season. They ran through everybody. I understand that the regular season wins don't mean as much, but I'm sure that there were times during the regular season when the opponents wanted to beat Milwaukee. Why don't, in the regular season, why don't opponents always make it a half-court game against someone like Giannis? I don't get why there's a difference between his success in the regular season and the postseason. Is it just that people are literally trying harder in the postseason to execute game plans?
No, that's a great question. I'm going to answer that after this quick word from DoorDash. Between never-ending laundry cycles and incoming emails, you've got plenty on your to-do list. Give yourself one less thing to worry about and let DoorDash take care of your next meal. DoorDash is the app that brings you the food you're craving right now, right to your door. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. With over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you could support your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, and the Cheesecake Factory. Continue supporting restaurants in your community safely. There are thousands of restaurants open for delivery on DoorDash that need your patronage now more than ever. Just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite local restaurant, and your food will be left at your door. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the code LOCKEDONNBA. That's $5 off your first order and zero delivery fees when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter the code LOCKEDONNBA. Don't forget, that's code LOCKEDONNBA for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. Plus, let's talk about Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing number of vehicle makes and models, it can be impossible to stock all the parts you need for your car, especially now while you may not be able to visit a traditional store. So do it easily online instead at rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years. So go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They've got everything that you could possibly need, from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks to deliver directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, those prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low without the markup that you could find from salespeople. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck, and then write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
Amazing tease.
Great tease. And I hope people tuned in. No, it's a good question, and it's one that I think is exaggerated by the way Milwaukee plays, because you're right, they want to get out in transition, they want to go from a half court game to a full court game, and they want to just get Giannis in space. And most of the time, the reasons you get into a half court game so often is sort of what you said. Players are just trying harder, but they're also just paying attention more on a possession to possession basis. And what leads to transition opportunities and fast breaks? It's turnovers, and teams turn the ball over less because they care more about every possession in the postseason. That's typically what happens. And then obviously, you know, as the series goes on, you know, with a minimum to four games, maximum of seven, you know, you learn other players' tendencies. You're able to just sort of figure out defenses a little bit better. And just you just tend to have this little extra gear that is not really there
that makes sense.
The regular season. And for Milwaukee, you know, I think they just thrive. Like they are such a regular season team in that they thrive on those things. Like Giannis is such a freak of nature that you just don't see him unless you are playing Milwaukee, right? Like he is the only version of him in the league. And so you don't really game plan game to game like you do in the playoffs.
Right.
And so I think that matters too.
Specific practices, right? Because they don't really get to practice for specific teams during the regular season. But now, especially during the bubble, they have nothing but a week. So they can look at what worked, what didn't, and then do those little tweaks. That makes sense to me.
You said before that it would depend on what the Warriors would have to give up in a trade for Giannis. And I do want to break that down a little bit too, because Giannis just told Chris Haynes, you know, minutes after the Bucks walked off after game five, that he is not going to ask for a trade. Now, he had that ready to go. Chris Haynes had that ready to go. And you could tell what Giannis is doing there. He was trying to nip any trade talk in the bud right away. He is sort of setting up this final season in Milwaukee and the free agency of 2021. And he's going to make his decision then. But things change all the time in the NBA. And if he gets into the gym and he's looking around, or if the Bucks refuse to fire Budenholzer, or if they do fire him and they whoever they do hire is just not inspiring, he could change his mind. Who knows? And in the case, but if he doesn't change his mind and he does become a free agent, the Warriors have basically no shot at landing him. And that's when teams like Toronto and Dallas and Miami, teams with cap space in 2021. Those are the teams that are going to – and one of those teams ends up with Giannis, more likely than not. And the Warriors are just not going to be a part of that. So the Warriors basically need Giannis to demand a trade. And I do wonder if, you know, Draymond Green is sending text messages or Steph Curry is sending text messages like, hey, I know you said this, but just let's get ahead of this. Don't waste another year of your prime. We can win a championship right away. If that hypothetical happens, if the Warriors players just tamper to no end and Giannis ends up demanding a trade – what would you be willing to give up? And the obvious starting point is Klay Thompson, right? That's the first player Milwaukee would ask for. Obviously, Steph Curry's on the table. Would you be willing to come off of Klay Thompson for Giannis? As a Warriors fan, I'm asking you.
So let me back up that he said he didn't want to be traded. Wasn't surprising. I would have bet any amount of money on it. And it doesn't concern me in any way as someone who would still like to add him to the team. I remember after the Warriors lost in game six to Toronto, reading all of those stories about Michael Thompson saying KD had shot Clay a text saying that they had quote unquote unfinished business. And we all remember how that played out. So the fact that he said, you know, right after the stinging loss that he wants to stay in Milwaukee doesn't concern. Also kudos to you. We all know secretly you are from Miami and have at least a little bit of love for the Heat. And while you were putting together that list of Giannis suitors, you added Miami kind of last, and I mm-hmm. thought that was really well done. And you hid how much you really wanted. It was almost like you just came up with them out of nowhere, even though I'm sure they're like highlighted with sprinkler pen and the whole nine yards. But getting to your question,
I'm nothing if not subtle.
No, and really well done, just really well done subtlety. Getting to your question, would I include Clay? It is a remarkably hard question. I'll give you a sense of how volatile it is. We talked about that on our podcast. And before we did, I shot out a tweet, just seeing what the general feel amongst Warrior fans was. And the responses were not subtle. One person, and I hope that you guys have a beep button, told me, fuck you, fuck your show. I would like to punch you in the face. It didn't even answer the question. So bringing up whether or not you're willing to give up Clay is going to get a lot of nasty responses. So let me put it this way. If this was abstract, if I was putting together a fantasy team right now and the past didn't matter, I'm focusing only on creating a team that is going to win a championship moving forward. And the first person I have is Steph. And the next person up on the board, I can choose between Clay or Giannis. I can have one of those two guys. I would take Giannis. I would. I think a core of Steph and Antetokounmpo going forward has a larger championship window. And that obviously depends on Antetokounmpo developing the way that we were just talking about.
If you add, just as an aside, if you add Giannis to Steph Curry, what we understand is the Warriors' championship window right now of 3 to 4 years. becomes a decade. I mean, exactly. Giannis is 25 years old. He is arguably the best player in the league, even though I'd argue he's not. But Steph Curry is still within that range. And so you're adding two top five players. You're probably the only team in the league that has two top five players. And I'd say the Lakers probably have two top six players. So I'm splitting hairs here, but yep.
You're completely right. And you make yourself a free agent destination. You know, immediately.
If Steph Curry is that sort of player for 3 or 4 years, great. But if now you have Giannis in the height of his powers at 28, 29, 30, all you need from Steph, all he needs to do until he's 40 years old is just hit three-pointers. You no longer need him to be MVP-level Steph. You just need him to be like Ray Allen in Miami Steph, and he could be the best-ever version of that.
He could be Del Curry. It doesn't even have to be Ray Allen, and they would be able to succeed because of the spacing he would create. But, man, this isn't something that happens in a bubble. It's not an abstract thing. We've got to factor in the past. And we're talking about Klay goddamn Thompson. You know, not just what he has done on the floor, which is considerable. He is one of the people who has changed this franchise. You know, Steph gets most of the shine, and he should. But it's not like this team was winning games when Steph was here. You know, they had 60 lost seasons with Steph as well. Klay is one of the reasons they flipped it around. And if you look off the floor, he might be more of a part of the Golden State fabric than Curry is. Things like Rocco, things like the toaster, things like him talking about scaffolding, just the whole nine yards. He's a part of this. And the thing that would also concern me is future free agents. If the Warriors, you know, draft Klay, win a series of championships with Klay, but then trade him out at the first opportunity, how would other free agents view this franchise? Mm-hmm. You know, are they smart? Are they a team without loyalty?
I think they would view it as a team that has Steph Curry and Giannis ultimately. but I have nothing but understanding for Warriors fans who do respond to this question with anger. Emotionally, I get it. Like if you're a Warriors fan and you are saying, screw it, I don't want Giannis. We did the whole Kevin Durant thing. We did the go grab superstar thing already. I just want to I want to stick with the homegrown trio of Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green. I fully understand that. And I actually respect that a lot. I really do. That said, that's not how Bob Myers gets to treat this. Yep. He has a very specific job, and that's to put the best team he possibly can on the floor. And if Giannis demands a trade to Golden State and says, look, he goes to Milwaukee's front office and says, I want out. I have one more year left on my contract, and then signals to all 29 other teams or 28 other teams, I guess, at that point. If you trade for me, congrats, you're going to get me for 1 year, and then I'm signing somewhere else.
Yep.
And so that's the way he can maneuver a trade to the Warriors. And if I'm Giannis, if I'm the Bucks, I'm asking for Klay Thompson. And if the Warriors, you sort of have to give up Klay Thompson if that's the case. It is a blank check situation where, hey, anything other than Steph, you get it. But then there's the other thing, Bram. If I'm Giannis, I don't want the Warriors to trade Klay Thompson.
Right.
If I'm Giannis, I want to play with Steph and Klay Thompson. That's the whole idea, right? And I want to play with Draymond Green too, by the way. So I don't want. So when I'm looking around and I'm Giannis, I'm like, where's the best situation for me? Is it the Warriors with Steph, or is it the Warriors with Steph and Klay and Draymond Green? That's the answer. And you don't want to end up doing what Carmelo Anthony did when he left Denver and demanded that New York trade everything that they have and then join a depleted Knicks team
right.
and then was never able to win anything. If Giannis wants to get moved, he wants to get moved not because he wants to live in San Francisco, but because he wants to go win a championship. And having Klay on the team helps him do that. So I think what the Warriors ultimately could package and would have to only package is because, again, they would want Giannis to re-sign, and the chances of him re-signing are much better with Klay Thompson there.
What are his other options for Giannis? So let's say it's not here. I mean, what you're talking about is, okay, I'm not going to win a championship in Milwaukee. I need a supporting cast that gives me the best chance to do it. And you're right, of course. The supporting cast in Golden State is much better if it includes Klay. But what are the other supporting casts that he could go after? I mean, I've heard Toronto, I've heard Miami. If he joined them, they don't have to give up anybody. He just joins the roster as set, or would both of those teams have to give up pieces too?
Well, as you know, I've definitely looked at this every single way, and I'm going to answer that question after this. This is Locked On Warriors. Every Friday, I answer your questions in a mailbag episode. So send those to me on Twitter at WC Goldberg and subscribe to get the Locked On Warriors show automatically every day. Bram, before the break, you asked me what the other options are for Giannis. I think the only actual landing spot, if he were to demand a trade, would really be Golden State. And I just, but if he holds out, does one more year in Milwaukee and becomes a free agent, Miami, Toronto, and Dallas all can easily create max cap space while Golden State cannot. So like I said before, Golden State's only path is via trade. Miami could trade something if they want to just get ahead of it. I don't think that their package, like Tyler Hero has looked like the real deal in the playoffs, but he's not really a player you're going to build around if you're Milwaukee, right? Like he's a nice complimentary piece for the Heat.
No, he's Tyler Hero. Let's not all go crazy. I mean, I understand. I watched last night, but yes, let's not lose our crap for him quite yet.
So they would not trade Jimmy Butler or Bam Adebayo. Because again, that is like Jimmy Butler is the guy recruiting Giannis, you know, ostensibly to Miami. So you don't trade the recruiter for the recruitee. And Bam Adebayo is the guy that anybody's going to play with. And that would be sort of the trio that you're building around. If you're Toronto, you can offer maybe the best player out of everybody that we're talking about in Pascal Siakam. But even Siakam, man, is he a guy that you're going to build a franchise around? Like I think he could top out as maybe like a top 20, top 25-ish guy. But I'm not seeing him as a top 10 or 11 guy, like one of these guys who you can really build a franchise around, which if you're trading Giannis, that's what you want. You want to trade Anthony Davis and end up with Zion Williamson.
Right.
And if you're Dallas, you can offer Kristaps Porzingis, but there's a million questions about his long-term health, and he's never probably going to be that guy either. So you look at the options that are on the table in a potential trade, and – like, look, you can get crazy where you like get teams like Washington involved and maybe they offer Bradley Beal, or do the Clippers just say, hey, here's Paul George for Giannis straight up or something crazy like that. But those aren't really on the table. That's just more, you know, trade machine hoopla. But I do wonder if on its face, it looks like Toronto probably has the best package. But if you really break it down, does Golden State have the best package of even with Andrew Wiggins? You just give him at 25 years old. He's still young. You can make something out of him. He would play a position of need at that point. But really, you're getting the number two pick, and you're getting Minnesota's pick next year, and you're getting a bunch of future first rounders and a bunch of swap rights and all this other crap. Like, you're just going to have all these bites at the apple. But at the very least, you're going to get the number two pick this year and Minnesota's pick next year, which should still be in the high lottery. Those are two bites at the apple, two opportunities to really go get a franchise caliber player, as opposed to these other deals that don't really involve that sort of player.
What you are describing is the perfect threading of the needle for Warriors fans, right? I mean, the first thing that has to happen, the most important, the least likely, is for Giannis to not only decide, all right, I'm done in Milwaukee, but then to decide there is only one place I want to play. It is Golden State. And incidentally, I will play for less money there. You know, if they can figure out the money, I want to play with Clay. I want to play with Draymond. I want to play with everybody. So he would have to go to Milwaukee and be like, look, I'm leaving. I am out of here. And you could trade me somewhere else, but I'll be leaving there too. And they'll know it. So you better deal with Golden State. If that first domino goes down, then the rest of it's a little bit easier, because what you're describing is absolutely right. If I'm Milwaukee and I have to reset, I don't necessarily want Giannis Light, which is what Siakam would be. Right. I already know these guys can't win. You know, this in particular supporting cast, this iteration's not going anywhere. Unless I'm aiming for the second round of the Eastern Conference playoffs, that's not my goal. What I need to do is blow it the hell up. And there's only one team out there, Wes, that has two very viable high first round picks, and it's Golden State. So there's a way that this thing can happen, but it doesn't seem very likely. You know, there's a lot of things that have to go very specifically in order for that reality to take place.
And so I think the likeliest version of this is the Bucks fire Mike Boonholzer. They hire maybe Billy Donovan, who is just let go. And maybe then Billy Donovan, Chris Paul, they have a great working relationship in Oklahoma City that was talked about all season long. The Bucks trade, you know, Brooke Lopez and Eric Bledsoe, George Hill, Irsan Ilyasova, Robin Lopez, some sort of combination of those guys, and just pair Chris Paul with Giannis and have him coached by Billy Donovan, who I thought did a really great job with the Thunder. And the only reason he's not there is because him and the organization understand that he's not the best coach for a rebuilding effort, which is what they're doing. It seems very likely that Chris Paul is going to get moved. It seems extremely likely. Like Mark Stein of the Times, New York Times, is already reporting that the Bucks will be involved in that conversation. It looks like the right thing. It looks, it's just very it kind of is too easy.
I wish I'd come up with that. Is there some way that, I don't know what kind of technological prowess you have over there, but if you could make my voice say what you just said instead of yours, that'd be awesome.
I'm still trying to figure out how to bleep out your F-bomb earlier.
That's not going
to
work. No. I mean, okay, don't worry about that. Let the F-bomb play. I want that take. The thing that also speaks to me about that take, if I am, and forgive me, but I can't remember the GM's name in Milwaukee, but if
John
I
Horst. Am,
there you go. If I'm John, and I know really my job is on the line next year regardless. Yeah, I might be losing it this offseason, but if I somehow stretch into next year, and I know that all of the chips are in the middle of the table, why not make some of those home run moves? You know, bring in Chris Paul, see how this thing plays out. Because if it doesn't work, you're getting fired anyways. So you might as well try anything that could possibly work.
Absolutely. And I think that's what you do. And you just say, like, let's just try. And look, Milwaukee will not trade Giannis anything short of him saying, I'm holding out. I'm not playing unless you trade me, right? Like he needs to pull the full Anthony Davis playbook if he's going to get out of there. Anything short of that, and the Bucks are going to just say, you know what? Let's do one more year of this. We'll do our best. And if we win a championship with him and Chris Paul and Billy Donovan, maybe we can convince him to stay. It's what Cleveland did with LeBron James. It's what the Thunder did with Kevin Durant. And it's honestly the only move a small market team has, right? Anything short, again, of the Anthony Davis demand. And so that to me is the most realistic option. That said, and understanding now that Giannis is very much a pipe dream for the Warriors, are you cool with just running this thing back? Are you cool with just like saying, hey, we've got a couple of nice assets in these two first round picks coming up. We've got Steph Curry, we've got Klay Thompson, we've got Draymond Green. Let's see what the Andrew Wiggins thing ends up being. Eric Paschal is a nice addition. Steve Kerr is still at the helm. Bob Myers is still running things. Are you cool with running this back for the next, call it half decade?
Very much. Well, for the next half decade, I'm not sure. Let me take what I thought the question was going to be. Am I cool for next year? Very much so. And this could just be me drinking the Warriors Kool-Aid, which I do every day. But I have yet to see a team in this bubble that where I watch them, I think to myself, my God, the Warriors have no chance against them when they're healthy next year. Mm-hmm. Now, I really think, assuming that Klay Thompson is Klay Thompson, assuming that these pieces work together, because who the hell knows? You know, Wiggins and Steph and Klay and Draymond have literally not played a single second of basketball together. But if that combo works in the way we think it will, then yes, I am ready to run it next year, and I'm expecting a successful season. As far as what happens going forward, I don't know. I feel a lot better, Wes, if everyone around me was telling me that this draft was loaded as next year's was, so that we knew we were adding two elite talents. With the giant question marks that appear to be at the top of this draft and the possibility of them maybe trading and, you know, who knows what happens with it, I'm not as rosy on the five-year outlook. I don't feel like we know enough about this team. But next year, with the talents I do know a lot about, the Splash Brothers and the general core, I feel good about them.
Yeah. No, and I think that makes sense to me, and that's what makes this draft and the next draft so important. You really do need to find the next face of the franchise here and a player who can sort of blossom within a 2 or 3 year time frame and be a real contributor. And anything short of that, and it does get a little dicey long term, which is why plan A is Giannis and why, you know, plan B is, you know, maybe these other guys that could be out there, a Drew Holiday, a Victor Oladipo, you know, names like that that keep cropping up in trade rumors, Bradley Beal potentially like a year from now. But I do think that, you know, you could do a lot worse. You could do worse than stay the course.
Yeah, you stayed that.
And just trust your front office, trust your coaching staff, trust your player development, and just nail these two picks coming up in the next couple of years.
I'm a couple weeks removed from this quote, so I won't nail it. But Bob Myers was asked if the Warriors were looking at drafting somebody or doing something during the offseason to aim towards beating teams like LA. And his response was, we're not there yet. And I thought, I mean, maybe this is an optimistic look, but it was one of the things that made me most fired up for next year. Because what I thought Myers was saying is, look, people should still be preparing for us. You know, our talent level hasn't gone down to the portion where we need to pick teams to beat. we're still good enough where maybe they should be focusing on the type of basketball that they need to play. And I say that only because if a team or if a player of Giannis's talent, and you'll notice I'm avoiding his last name because I can't say it, Wes. I every time I say this guy's name, it completely shifts. But if a talent...
The nickname that never stuck that was perfect for him was the Alphabet, and I wish that would have stuck. That was a great nickname.
I'll use it right now. So if the Alphabet becomes available, the, you know, of course you have to consider it. That's like finding a lottery ticket on the ground. You scratch it? Of course you do. But there's nothing, they don't have to change where they're at. They don't have to go seek a move. You take advantage of an opportunity, but they don't have to create anything here because I think they have the talent to already compete.
Without tooting my own horn, that was the question that I asked Bob Myers on that conference call where you you quote his response there. But I had very much the same reaction to it where it's like, okay, you know what? That to me sounds like the right move. I think the only thing that you need obviously for this, and I'm going to be, and I wrote about that this week, is you need to add length to this team. If you're looking at the Clippers and the Lakers and the Rockets and what, and Denver and what these teams are doing, you need to add length. And I think that's going to, and look, there is nobody longer in the league than Giannis, but short of Giannis, I do think that they're going to, and they need to add length in some way, shape or form this summer. But Bram, we are running out of time here. You could check out his podcast, Warriors Huddle, anywhere you get podcasts. It's a must listen to for Warriors fans. I was on it with Connor Letourneau from the San Francisco Chronicle last week for a really fun episode. That was last week, right?
Yeah, last week.
For a really fun episode. I'm sure I'll be on again if you'll have me. But thanks for coming on, Bram.
It is my absolute pleasure. Of course you're coming on, if nothing else, just so that you can ghost me at the last second and I can rebuild rebuild some resentment. No, jokes aside, man, love this show. I really appreciate you having me on. Go Warriors, and hopefully I'll see you pretty soon.
Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors wherever you listen to podcasts. Please rate, review, and say nice things about the show. Thanks to DoorDash and to Rock Auto for sponsoring today's episode. You could send your comments and questions to me on Twitter at WC Goldberg or email them to me at WGoldberg@BayAreaNewsGroup.com. Thanks for listening and stay safe out there.